When Christ comes, will he find any faith on earth? He will, if we persevere. Perseverance involves an effort and the virtue of fortitude, courage. It just doesn't happen. As in the case of Moses, God's mediator was called to be an intercessor, to intercede, to be there for God's people, so that they would win the battle against the Amalekites. The battle would have been lost. However, God's grace bolstered the soldiers, provided Moses was faithful and persevered as intercessor. His arm had to be outstretched, and while the arms were outstretched, the graces came and the battle would be won by the general Joshua. But of course, you hold your arms out for 5 minutes, they become very tired. In order that the arms might be held out and the battle won, he had his brother Aaron and Hur prop up his arms. In doing so, the battle was won. That was a bodily gesture. It was carried over into the church. I think at the catacombs of Domitilla in Rome, there's an ancient fresco of Christ as the good pastor, the good shepherd, and his hands, his arms are outstretched in prayer. When you come into Mass, you pray, hopefully with your heart, your thoughts, your words, but also with your body. You genuflect, you make the sign of the cross, we kneel. These are all bodily gestures. For the body has its own language. If you ask someone to do something and they kind of nod their heads and fold their arms, the body says it all. Women are very good at reading body language. And sometimes it's not what we say with the words, but what we do with our body that makes more difference. So too in the church's liturgical language, we have this bodily gesture of the arms outstretched. Why? Because the priest is interceding for God's people. He's connecting you to God. Just like, for example, in legal matters, if you have a problem with a company or some contract, you seek an intercessor, a solicitor or a lawyer, and you pay for them. Or if you're sick, you're a patient, and you want the doctor, you call a nurse. The nurse intercedes, steps in, and assists you. So too in the church, at a spiritual level, the priest intercedes for God's people to God. He steps in. And during the Eucharistic prayer, he's praying for your sick people, those who are suffering, those in need, those who have died. We pray for Pope Francis. These are all prayers of intercessing. And as the priest's arms are extended, the graces are coming down for all of those needs. And that's why the arms are outstretched during the Eucharistic prayer and not at other times, because the priest is interceding on your behalf. During the Gospel, my arms are joined together, my hands are closed, because I'm not interceding. In fact, it's Christ who speaks to you in the Gospel, not the priest. And that's why we join our hands, so that you might hear the words of the Lord himself. So the body does speak a language, and when we know the language, we understand more of what's happening. And behind intercession and the need of prayer comes perseverance. Scripture helps us to persevere. The text you heard from Timothy is a classic, often quoted to inspire us to pray and to persevere in our prayer. Now, perseverance involves resilience. Resilience resides in the will and employs a virtue called fortitude or courage. There are four moral virtues or cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Now, fortitude bolsters the will against adversity. So when we feel like giving up, we feel strengthened. We keep on going. And without fortitude, we can never persevere in doing anything. No song would have been written unless the writer persevered, or a book. No land would have been explored unless the explorer persevered. I often think about when we go to Hume Dam or on the Hume Highway, Hamilton Hume and William Hovell were two men as explorers. One was a navigator, the other was a bushman, well taught by the Aborigines in bushcraft. And they'd left Yass coming down to discover what was down here. They nearly gave up, but no, they persevered. In fact, things boiled over near Tumbarumba. They'd just seen the snowy mountains for the first time, and there near some waterfalls, Hovel and Hume had a disagreement, and they split. Hume got the frying pan. I don't know whether it was over his head or not, but he carried it away. But it only lasted for a day because Hovel realised he couldn't cope. He wouldn't survive without the wisdom and skills of Hamilton Hume. So he came back. But they persevered in crossing the Murray, which was named after Hume originally. They changed the name and made their way down south. But whatever the case, no race is run. No game is complete without someone persevering, making the effort. And today, people don't pull upon this virtue of fortitude or resilience as much as they ought, or as much as other generations did. I say that because in other generations, 50 years ago, people were more resilient. They were tougher because at a younger age, they were forced to mature earlier with responsibilities, jobs and duties. Today, life is very, very comfortable and perhaps too comfortable. We're not pushed to the limit because only in being pushed do we pull upon our resilience. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I'm not talking here of physical toughness, but mental toughness that helps a HSE student when they're tired to keep on studying so that they'll do well in their exams. Whether it's learning a new language, whatever the case, it all involves perseverance. Now, we're called to persevere in our faith, which involves grace. When we employ the virtue of fortitude, God gives us grace. It's like oil on the chain. It makes it go easier and smoother. It makes it easier to persevere. On top of that, we need to be encouraged. Now, when someone's doing something, we can either discourage them, which means pull them down. Oh, you're a waste of space. You don't know what you're doing. Get out of the way. And someone's trying to bake a cake. Or we can encourage, which means to build them up. Oh, yes, not too bad. Yeah, I can see that's coming together. Encouragement might be a smile. It might just be a few words, but it enables one to, I'm doing okay. I'll keep on going. Even if the last person in the race, just encourage them to finish the race. Whatever the case, encouragement always helps one to keep on going. So we need others' support. And lastly, we need the intercession of the saints. Where they have gone, we want to follow. And therefore, we think about them and what they had to put up with, and that helps us cope when we feel like giving up. Two people who coped very well of living memory are Mother Teresa and Saint John Paul II. They're both saints, and John Paul's anniversary is this week. Now, Mother Teresa was a woman of tremendous charity and works of mercy for others, but that was based upon her prayer life. She'd spend 3 hours in prayer a day. But for many years, decades in fact, she suffered from dry prayer. In other words, it was a one-way street. She wasn't too sure whether God was on the other end. She wasn't getting much consolation back from her prayer. It was very difficult, very dark. But she persevered. She was always there. She never gave up. And that's a reminder to us, never to give up. It's fidelity that matters most of all at the end of the day. So keep that rosary going. Keep your prayers going. Never lose heart. And think of Mother Teresa sitting there praying. And because of her fidelity, God opened doors throughout the world for her nuns. The other person is John Paul II, who lost his mother at a young age, his sister, then his brother, then eventually his dad when he was 21 years old. His country had been occupied. He became basically a slave at the quarry factory. He could have fallen into drink and depression. What's the point? Why bother? He didn't. He persevered. He became a priest and eventually a bishop. And for many decades, persevered in trying to win human rights for his people in a Russian-occupied country, Poland. And eventually he did win over. But it took many years of perseverance. And eventually he became pope, as you know, and was a very long reigning pope, known for his athletic ability, his languages. He travelled the world, preach and teach. And then from about the year 2000, he suffered from Parkinson's and became somewhat immobile. He couldn't move as he once did. I remember vividly his last Sunday Angelus message. Now, every Sunday, like today, the Pope comes to the papal apartments and appears at the window. Midday says the Angelus prayer with the people gathered, the pilgrims below, and speaks to them and gives them some insights, some words of comfort. John Paul appeared in 2005 at the window. He was there. He persevered. He made the effort to get there, but he couldn't speak. A man of such eloquence, so gifted in languages, now was bound by this disease that froze his mouth. And he tried to say things, but nothing came out. And he just stood there, looking, praying. He was tuned in, but he couldn't speak, which must have been a tremendous cross. He gave the blessing and soon after died. And that was the largest funeral in human history. 3 million people came by to pay their respects. Presidents from America, kings and queens, all gathered to pay homage and remember this great Pope. Why? Because he was a Pole? No, I think not. But because he was a man of tremendous prayer. A man who persevered even in such difficult times. So we are called to be like these great saints, to persevere and never lose heart, so that when the Son of Man comes, Christ, he may find faith in us.